I think roller derby is a hopeful thing.
He earned enough money from selling plants that he paid off the mortgage on his house.
People always want to know, is that a lie or is that the truth?
I completely disassembled this Triumph TR6.
I wish I could have been a professional woman soccer player.
I'm Martha Woodruff, and this is The Spark, an exploration of interesting people doing interesting things. Invisibilia is NPR's wildly popular new show. So popular, in fact, that it's not only on WMRA, but has also been, according to The New Yorker, the number one podcast on iTunes for most of its existence. So what is Invisibilia? I asked co-host Lula Miller, who, by the way, is a part-time Charlottesvillian.
So Invisibilia is a show that's about the unseen forces that shape or sometimes control human behavior. And it's hosted by me and Elise Spiegel. Elise Spiegel helped to start This American Life and then was a mental health reporter on the NPR science desk for about 10 years. And I was an early producer on Radiolab, so I came from sort of the science journalism plus fun storytelling background. That was where I got my radio training. She and I came together to kind of try to create something new. It started at the level of a story or two, and then episodes started basically conglomerating, like story ideas turned into these episodes. And the name was not clear to us at the beginning. Like, we actually didn't even know what we were. We knew we were both drawn to stories that were about emotion or science. That was kind of the intersection that seemed clear. And then at a certain point, I think in a certain way, because we both like surprise in stories, we realized like it's not just about emotion. It's about how emotion or how behavior is shaped in somewhat surprising ways. And that's when we sort of started to realize there are these things that nudge and shape you, like fear or like how you think about your thoughts and how like how you answer that question. If you think your thoughts are very related to your inner wishes versus if you think your thoughts are just chatter you don't need to pay attention to, how like the ways in which you answer certain questions can have profound effects on your life and maybe even your physiology. Like we started to realize actually toward the end what our show was really about. And we have all these earlier versions where we were called different things. We were called the mechanics because we were thinking, oh, it's about the mechanics of human behavior. We were called The Dark Room was an early one where we just thought, like, I don't know why we called it that, but it's just like this place you could kind of close the door and talk intimately. And it was sort of toward the end that we realized, you know, it really is the common thread here is that there are these invisible things pulling at you or kind of shaping you. And then that's when we came up with the name. Sorry, how's that?
A plus, darling. Where in you did this particular type of curiosity come from?
I think that for me, it sort of came from my dad. Like, he is a scientist. And I think when I would go to him with the childhood, how does the life work questions? Like, what does it all mean? Almost like the big spiritual questions.
Mm-hmm.
He would have sometimes a very frustratingly pat, like, there is no meaning, hun. Want another bagel? But then also when I try to understand how things work, he would also have these really beautiful, like, breathtaking explanations of, you know, evolution or why leaves fall off trees. Like, he knew a lot about how the world worked and was real. He's a really curious person and would often have these really delicious, like, extensive scientific answers. So I think that, like, there's a real, I've always loved understanding how things work, maybe because of when you're young and you feel that with desperation. The person who answered those questions for me, you had to sit around and listen to a science lecture to get that answer. And so, like, a patience and an actual, like, curiosity, I think, was formed maybe at that stage, and then it just stuck. Like, I always am kind of interested in understanding, I guess, like, the nuts and bolts of how slightly metaphysical things work.
It strikes me that developing a show with someone is a bit like getting married and having a kid. So how did you and Miss Beagle end up married?
How did we? So I think she had some other, I think she was trying out some other brides. Like, basically, she was at a moment in her career where she had been doing news reporting for 10 years, mm-hmm. and she really wanted to try something new. And she is so good at throwing herself upon the world. I mean, she's one of the most socially fearless people I've ever seen. Like, she will just talk to anyone immediately, jump right in. And the same, like, it's what makes her a great reporter. She'll cold call a million people in a day, but also just in her life, she's really dedicated to, like, I think one of her favorite things is novelty and experimentation. And, like, just she always, the minute she's built up a comfort zone, she wants to find a way to drag herself out of it. So she was just kind of, as I understand it, like, she wanted to learn new things. She wanted to learn how to tell radio in new ways. And so we met actually at a Third Coast radio conference in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
And I was freelancing at the time. And she basically pitched this idea of going out to L.A. to do a story about a man who was overcome by violent thoughts.
Now, why did she pitch you? What happened there?
Well, I think she had a list of young-ish radio producers she wanted to work with.
Okay.
And, like, I think she just was, like, trying out working with different people. And as she puts it, like, I had tricks, I think, because I had worked at Radiolab. She envisioned that I had some bag of tricks of ways to make radio that she didn't yet know. And she kind of wanted to understand the Radiolab process. And I think maybe she liked some of my stories, but maybe it was just the Radiolab cred. Who knows? And then she told me it was my stories, but, like, you never really know. And then...
And who cares, basically?
Right. And then it clicked. And I think, like, it just clicked.
But look at this. Lula's back in town. Bye, bye, bye.
I want to ask you, you've done all this stuff. You've got an MFA in creative writing, and you were on the ground floor of Radiolab. Blah, 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 blah. What haven't you done that you want to do?
Oh, what a fun question. I have so many answers. I want to become a professional long-distance runner. I want to, like, run 100 miles. I love running so much. I'm so slow. I'm very slow. But I could, like, go forever. I just love running. So that's, like, a dream. Yeah, be an ultra runner. Oh, God, I sound so, like, well, anyway, I love it. I just find it spiritual and peaceful, and, like that's what I love about being semi-based in Charlottesville again. I love running through the woods. I really, really want to learn how to surf. That's a top. I don't know if that one's ever going to be in the stars for me. I've tried, and I'm very ungainly on a surfboard. Those are the big ones right now.
You can download a lightly edited version of my entire conversation with Invisibilia's Lulu Miller on the Spark page at WMRA.org.
I'll tell all my friends, all my Harlem coquettes, Mr. Waller regrets, but who does he think he can get around? No. Tell the mailman not to call, he's coming home until the fall, and then again I might not get home at all. Lulu's back in town. Oh, that woman's back. Oh, my, 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 my.